Well, last week we talked about many different things. We talked about the fear of God, not the fear of God, the fear of man, which really keeps us frozen oftentimes from really sharing the gospel with people. And we prayed about breaking off the fear of man, because evangelism is our core value. And if you're living in the fear of man, if you're living in what people think of you, then it's gonna affect how you are able to share the gospel with them. And so we were talking about just having a breaking off of the fear of man. When you have the fear of man, you might be in different circumstances. If you're like, man, do I have the fear of man? Well, let me ask you this. If you're in work around certain people and you change to appease who they are, and then you go to your church and you're around certain people and you're a different person in that context, and then you go to your, friend group, club, whatever you're a part of, and now you're a different person, then most likely you have the fear of man. Like, for instance, if you bring your friend maybe at work or in a whatever you're into in your community group to church, and they notice that you're tremendously different, like you don't laugh at their off-color remarks, off-color jokes, your language is different, then you have the fear of man, because you're changing who you are in that context. But when you're free of the fear of man, then you can be who God's called you to be. And you don't have to worry about what other people think about you. You can actually talk to them, look them in the eye, and love on them without any parameters that are holding you back. It's a wonderful feeling being free of the fear of man. And then I was talking to a friend of mine at lunch just during this week, and I just wasn't sure. I was just praying about what to share this week. And I could easily just come up with, like, you know, 12 weeks of messages and just preach them. Like, but I love to hear God's voice on the matter. And so I'm just like, God, what do you want to share on this week? And I was talking with a friend, and as he was talking, I was like, this is it. This is what we need to talk about, because how can we move forward as a church without a baptism of love on us? A few months ago, God spoke to us and said, I want you to rebaptize my church. He said to me, just as I was praying, he said, my power will meet their hunger in the pool. And then we had over 70 people, I forget how many exactly, but I know it was over 70, come and get baptized, unprepared, in this pool. It's amazing. But I also, and people were getting healed, they got touched, it was like a moment in the timeline of their life. God did what he needed to do. But I also believe right now that God wants to rebaptize us in his love. A true love, a love that's beyond any love that we could come up in our hearts. You know, I was, this person that I was sharing with, he just had this, he said this thing, and it so resonated with me. He said, you know, we read over this one scripture because we don't realize that this is actually a new commandment. Jesus literally says, a new commandment I give you. Like an 11th commandment. Like, hey guys, before I go, this is pretty important. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus says, a new commandment I give you. It's in red, because Jesus said it. It should be in red in your Bible, right? A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. And what's this? This is amazing. This is verse 35. By this, all people, everyone say all. All people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. You know, when I look at the world today and they don't know that we're disciples of Christ, it means we're not really in love with each other yet. We're not loving one another yet. This should be a challenge to us, that we would love one another well. Like, we should be a sign to the city. Like, when you know, we were in staff prayer this week and we're just praying, and just my heart just so burdened for the city and the churches of the city. And we need to pray for the churches of the city. We have to get out of our mindset that we're the river of God. We're not the river of God. We're like a little trickle a stream that goes into the river of God. God has amazing churches around this city, and we need to, like, instead of judging other churches and judging how people do things, we should just have this burden in heart and pray for them. Like, God, would you just bless every church in this city? God, I don't just want my church to grow. I want every church to grow. God, I want every pastor to be blessed. I want every worship team to just have your presence in them. I don't want to have any jealousy over any church. I just want them all to be blessed. See, you can't be praying for the city when you're disgusted with the city. You can't. I mean, those prayers aren't powerful. Those prayers don't move God's heart. You actually have to be in love with the city. You actually have to love the city. When you're praying for it, you see the value of it. You see the potential of the city, and you see how God sees the city. And because you see the way God sees it, you have this love for it. You're like, Jesus, would you just pour out your spirit on the city? You know what I do is I imagine people, like, God's changed my heart about this. He's given me a baptism of love, and I need more of it. But it's what I do is, like, I'll see, you know, friends that I love that they're unsaved, or I see, you know, family members who are unsaved. Sometimes I see people on the street who, you know, you look at them, you see that they're hard-hearted, you see they're angry, you see they're discontented, and you're thinking, man, there's no way God could touch them. You know, it's like, God, just take that anger out of them, you know, I just let God dream with me, and I see them, like, in my family room, crying their eyes out because they're accepting Jesus. I just imagine, like, what would it look like for them to be saved? And I imagine their life fully surrendered to God. And then I just, like, think, man, all that anger goes, all that. And so my love for them just builds. Because why? I see the value of them because I'm looking at them the way God sees them. The same way we need to look at our city. Like, it's impossible to pray for a spouse when you're offended at the spouse. It's impossible to effectively intercede and pray for your spouse because you're frustrated with your spouse. You can only pray for your spouse because you see their value and God's love for them. That's how you pray for your spouse. It's like, you might know how they're behaving and how they should behave. I know this is, like, uncharted territory for me, right? So, but you go, God, I just imagine your spouse totally free. Just imagine the full potential of God moving in their life. And then pray for them. Because your love for them builds because you see how God sees them. This is how faith works. Galatians 5:6, right? Help me out. Galatians 5:6. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. That's 5:16. Oh, I did a typo when I sent it to you, bro. I'm sorry. Galatians 5:6. Faith works through love. That's how faith works. Through love. Like, they're gonna love me even though I messed up. I actually sent them the verse Galatians 5:61, they're like, are you sure that's what you wanted? I was like, oh, I must have been dyslexic. Galatians 5:16, and it was 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision, come on, counts for anything. What's that saying? Whether they're Gentiles or Jews, none of that matters. But faith working through love. You want to have an increase of faith? Get an increase in love. Look, think about this paradigm. Hey guys, Benoit, Christine, you better, right? Come on. They were in a car accident on their way to church, and Jesus, thank God, kept them safe. So good to see you this week. I mean, think about, look, you might have this passion. I love God. I love Jesus. I love him. I love him. I love him. And if it's not, It's impossible to love God unless you really, truly understand how much he loves you. It's just impossible. Look, you got two characters in the Bible, Jesus' disciples. You have Peter, who ends up being the leader of the church. God's kind of like raised him up, and Jesus is calling all the good out of him. He's like the man who sticks his foot in his mouth, but he's also got bold, brave faith, right? He walked on water, his amazing things. And Peter would just openly declare how much he loves Jesus. God, I will never betray you. Others might, but you know I love you too much. I would never do that. And Jesus is like, little boy, before the cock crows three times, you're gonna betray me. And then you have this other character, John. John is the youngest disciple, and he's leaning on the chest of Jesus at the Last Supper. In his book, the book he wrote, he keeps referencing himself as the one whom Jesus loves. Like, John knows how much Jesus loves him so much. He was actually called John the Beloved, the one whom Jesus loves. Like, he understood this concept. And who is at the cross with Jesus? Out of all the disciples, it's John. John knew how much Jesus loved him. And it was because of that love that he had known of Jesus, that he didn't care if he could be crucified next to Jesus. He was at the cross, where you have Peter, who thought he understood how much he loved God. But when it came down to it, a little girl comes up to him. Hey, aren't you that one with Jesus? No. No, I could swear it's you. No. No, not me. I mean, come on. Talk about not having boldness. I mean, he could probably literally pick this girl up and just be like, you're coming, you're going away, you know? I don't know. But the fact is, our passion just for Jesus is not gonna keep us there. For us to understand this, we have to understand the baptism of the love of the Father for us to ever love well. And if you don't have that understanding, why? John reiterates this in 1 John. He says, we love him because he first loved us. Yeah, we pray for the sick. We do. We see people who have need and we pray for them, but our prayers are empowered when we understand that if it's not his love that's keeping us going, then we can easily be fizzled out. What does baptism mean? Baptism means to be immersed into, to be dipped into, like being dipped into the heart of God. Seeing people as he sees them. Watching the news and knowing we need to pray, but first we also know we need to be motivated by the love of God for that area. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, it says this. By the way, there's like a million verses I could have pulled from because this is such a prominent topic. But here we go, 1 Thessalonians 4:9. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. I didn't even give them this one, but how can you say that you love God and hate your brother? It's impossible. I'm not just challenging you, I'm challenging myself here. But we need this baptism into his love so that, you know, like, I mean, if you wanna get really into it, we have no right to hold offense. We have no right to pick up offense and say we have a right to be angry. We have a right to hate. We have a right to not love you. We actually have no reason to do that, because the one, the perfect one, who had every right to take up offense and to take up, you know, anger and to take up hate because of what was done to him, he laid it down. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And because we freely receive that forgiveness, we freely have to forgive. And it's only through his love and understanding his love for us, this baptism of love for us, can we be motivated to love well. You guys are so quiet. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you. See, God didn't come to just love us. He came to make us love, because he is love. How can you be in God and bypass his heart? You can't. 1 Corinthians 13:13, and through 14:1, it says, so now faith, hope, and love abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Every motivation of ministry has to come from this love. As the New Testament church like sold all they had and gave to whatever need there was, it was basically this communal love for one another. You know, the hippie movement had like a false version of this, right? And it wasn't sustainable because it wasn't true, pure love. But to be real with you, the church at that time, just generally speaking, wasn't moving in that kind of love either. It was an awakening that happened in the hippie movement and in the church. So we have to lay down our arms. We have to lay down our offenses. We have to say, God, just let me see them how you see them. May I be baptized in your love. May I value them. One of the greatest, anything wrong against you, Sean? What are you doing, buddy? I love you. One of the greatest challengers in my life had been, just even on this subject, is Bill Johnson. Just hanging around him and talking to him. He has this solid core belief that we should see people as God sees them and see the value in them and don't relate to them according to their dysfunction, but relate to them according to the full potential that they could be in God. Because if you continue to relate to them in their dysfunction, they will stay in their dysfunction. But if you can keep this standard where you're relating to them as God sees them, they'll come up to that standard. So much so that when I talk to Bill, like I've, you know, you're in these circles with pastors and you want to talk about relevant things in our circle, our stream. And you might talk about so-and-so who you know, had a moral failing here, and so-and-so who had a division in their church here, and so-and-so who got maybe a little off in this area. And Bill just will not participate in that conversation, even though it just seems right. He would rather speak hope, truth, and love into a situation that concerns his brother or sister than to identify what they're going through as a shaming device. Because he understands that it's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. Come on. There's two things that want to happen. I want us to be free of the fear of man, and I want us to be baptized in his love so that we're so free that when we're looking at our server, like last Sunday, I was just looking at my server, and he was a great guy, but you know, I could just see he was bound up, that he had other things on his mind, that he wasn't happy. And I just was like, man, imagine this man free. Imagine his whole family getting saved. Imagine him just, I'm just like getting full of joy. Now, if I have the fear of man, I'm like, have you ever heard of Jesus? It's okay if you haven't, but, I was just like, I have the best news that this guy could ever hear in his whole life. And it's okay if he doesn't want to hear it, but I'm going to tell it to him anyway. And I'm going to do it after we tip him. Because like, don't like get your bill and then start talking to the guy about Jesus before you tip him. He'd be like, oh yeah, I love Jesus, you know? What do I need to do to put that on there, right? No, tip him. And then I'm just like, hey, have you ever heard of Jesus? Can I talk to you about Jesus? I'm from Philly. Oh, he's like, oh, I like the Eagles. I'm like, really? That's amazing. Do you have pain in your back? No, I don't. Really? Oh yeah, actually I do. I was like, okay, let's pray for it. Like we need to break the barrier that keeps us from loving well. And sometimes that's this baptism. Come on, Jesus. We can all dance to that. All right. First John 3:23. John reiterates the commandment that Jesus brought to the disciples. He said this. 1 John 3:23. And this is his commandment. What? That new commandment. That we believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. So when this negative thought comes in my mind about another church, a person, a believer, an unbeliever, I want to be convicted by the Holy Spirit about this love that I need to have for them. And I can't do it in my own strength. See, my love has conditions. We're human. We have conditional love. You do something good for me, I love you. You're a part of my family, I love you. We have the same culture. We grow up the same way. We look the same. We talk the same. We love each other. But that is a conditional love, and it can be a wonderful love. But the only way to have unconditional love is to understand his baptism, his love for us. And that's what motivates us and drives us. That's what makes things that are hard to do easy to do. That's why I like, when I talk to people in our church who are going through things, who are struggling, I don't go, man, I'm glad I'm not you. I don't say, you know, you deserve that, or you know, of course I listen, but I experience, like when I look at them, when I look at you guys, I feel love for you. It's not my love for you, it's his love for you. And I'm like, man, you're getting so much closer to your full potential in Christ. Like, this is amazing. I'm still doing it myself too, but you're doing amazing. Like, keep going. I feel this love for you. I was just looking at my phone. When we went up to La Luz Trail, here we go, we'll circle back to the story. And I came back, you know, I put my phone away. I didn't wanna, it's technically Monday's my day off. But I came back down from the trail. I had over 50 text messages on my phone. And it's many of you. I don't consider you work. Like, I know I need time and rest with my family, but they're not like 50 individual messages. Some of them were just like, hey, are you okay? Did you die on the trail? Are you all right? But see, I don't go, what is this? How come I have to talk to so many people? Why do I meet with so many people? You know, what am I doing? I'm taking up like, woe is me. And I'm like, what? No, God's baptized me in his love. And I just want to talk to people. I just want to chat with people. I want to see how you're doing. This is what motivates me. It's not a burden to love. It's not a burden. It shouldn't be a burden for any of us. Okay, now I'm saying all that to say, it does mean you still need to have healthy boundaries and be with your family and take care of them. Because if you don't love your family and you're loving other people, something's off. Okay, right? So, okay, caveat there. But the reality is that we love one another well. And also, if I forget to respond to your text message, it's not because I'm upset at you. Just go, hey, Paul, did you get this? And I won't be mad as long as you're not mad. And I'll just be like, oh yeah, sorry, dude, totally. I read it, put it back in my pocket, wanted to respond later and forgot. All right, so, but the goal here is to love as he loves and to get a baptism of his love. And I just wanna reference one other kind of, there was a radical story in the Bible that is, it's just, it makes you angry when you read it. It's the book of Hosea. And Hosea is a prophet He was a prophet to Israel for 38 years, I believe. He hears from God and he tells Israel their judgments, things of that nature. And God tells Hosea to marry a promiscuous woman purposely. And Hosea, out of the love for God and generosity that he carried, marries this woman, takes him into his home. And after he has three children with this woman, who he doesn't even know if they're his children, because what she would do is just keep leaving him. And God would tell him to keep bringing her back. And this was supposed to be a sign unto Israel. Because when you read it, you get angry at Gomer. Like, how could this woman do this? How could this woman keep leaving when she has everything she needs with Hosea? How could this person do this? And then you realize, oh my gosh, I'm Gomer. I do this to God. I'm the one who leaves. And every time he forgives, every time he's like, if you need to understand love, my love is without condition. Yes, I called you to live a holy, sanctified life, but you need to understand that my love is so radical. I want you as my own. Why don't you stand? Yeah, if you can. I just desire this radical love because I want to be free. I want to be free from me. I want to be free from my confinements, my judgments, my biases. I want to be free from my preconceived notions of how people should act and what people should do and what all these things. I want to be free of that. I want to be free of me. How many want to be free of you? All the bad stuff of you, right? All the stuff that comes with conditions. I want that. And I believe that there's a baptism of his love here this morning, because if we want to be a sign to the city, you know, someone said, how can, you know, Jesus says, wants us as a church to be one body. And all the churches disagree about different things. And so in the natural mind, you think there's no way that the church will ever be one. Like how Jesus is coming for a spotless bride, right? So it's like, we are not spotless. We got some love conditions happening, even to our brothers. And even though that oftentimes these are peripheral doctrines, we need to push them aside and love one another. Well, how will they know that you're my disciples? Because of their love for one another. If the world doesn't know that we're his disciples, it's because we're not loving well yet. Amen? So we need to love well. So when we were praying with the staff, I said, I don't know where to start, except to say we need to start with us. So we said, Lord, we pray that we would love each other so well and love your church so well that we would be a sign for the other churches of Albuquerque. We'd say, in New Life City, the people of New Life City, the staff, there's no guile in them. There's no agenda in them. They're just the most loving people I've ever met. We want to bless the city, but it needs to start with us. We want to be a sign. We want to create such a jealousy in other churches saying, how can we be like them? And we say, well, let's just love well together, brother. Let's just love well together, sister. So that the church of Albuquerque would be a sign for the world. If we get 60% of the New Mexican population live in Albuquerque area, if they get saved, 60% of the state gates get saved. What an amazing opportunity. Not many states have that opportunity. So I want you to hold out your hands. I want to pray that a baptism of love would come upon us this morning, not because of anything I can do, but only what the Spirit of God can do. Holy Spirit, we welcome you here this morning. Would you flow in your power? Would you flow in your love? Lord, I want a baptism of your love this morning. Jesus, we want a baptism of your love. God, we want to love one another well. We want to take up this new commandment with seriousness. We want to lay down every idol, every offense, everything that's holding us back, every fear of man that's holding us back from being who we're supposed to be in you. Lord, that we could love the church well. That we can love our brothers and sisters well and serve one another. Give up everything for you because we know that nothing is worth the love you have for us. Oh, Jesus, may we experience this love. God, there's an anointing in this room of your love. I remember when I got one of the biggest offenses in my life from a church leader that just hurt so bad. And I, you know, held this one area, just held it away, just compartmentalized it for years. And Jesus brought it to me and I'm like, whoa, I put that away, God. I've moved on. It's like, how do I deal with that? And the Lord just told me, you need to release it. You need to forgive it. You can't hold offense. So I forgave them. And I just see how God sees them in their full potential. And now I can pray for them. The person I held offense against is now a person I pray for. Listen, guys. Let his love come over you so that you can jump into the river of God and float down in full freedom. I mean, just imagine. Imagine the people in your home just on their faces giving their lives to Jesus. And how much joy that's going to bring you. People you know. It's real. He's real. He's here. So I don't know. I got this impression this morning. I don't even know how to do things like this well. Andy will get me sorted one day. But just felt like anyone who wanted a baptism of love to anoint them with oil. And I got this, not that, you know, there's anything special about that. I mean, it's from the Holy Land. It's got frankincense. Someone gave it to me. Myrrh and spikenard. I don't even know what those smell like. But I was like, I need oil, God. And I look around. I was like, oh, someone gave me this before. And so if you just want a baptism of his love and you want a little dab of oil, I just want to invite you to come up. Just fill as much as you can. And if you need to go, you can go. If you need to get your kids, feel free. You don't have to get your kids right now. But I just want to be free. So God, may we be a sign. There's a lot of joy in here. God, I bless them with a baptism of your love right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, help us. A baptism of your love. A baptism of your love. A baptism of your love. Just jam in as tight as you can. I'm going to come by. A baptism of your love. A baptism of your love.